I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Why'd you have to go away from home, my love?
Let's just laugh and not say anything and have people wonder if the show started.
We do that all the time. What do you mean, let's try that?
No, we definitely say things when the show starts. We always say something.
No, it usually starts like this.
No, we should just leave it the silence, that uncomfortable silence.
That's gonna win another award.
Let's try it for 20 seconds.
No. Don't. Why would you do that? Why would you waste a beautiful time with sounds of you drinking?
Because it's awkward. That's why. We should all get comfortable with that awkward sort of
Jake, what am I? Why? Why? Why am I here?
Let's try it.
No, I'm not going to participate in your fantasy. Oh, my God.
Quiet. Ready? Go. 20 seconds.
It has won us award.
You guys, we're going to have to start over. And silence.
I can't stand it.
Oh my gosh.
Just would you start the
Janice,
show?
I'm trying to start the show.
Why would
show
you start something. Why would you start a show with 20 seconds of silence and giggling?
What I'm trying
honestly.
Here's what I'm trying to teach you. Okay.
Oh, I'm trying to teach me.
I'm trying to teach you something.
What?
Okay. So we're uncomfortable with this strange silence, right?
No, we're going to lose our jobs with this strange silence. Because someone's going to say, what the hell kind of producer are you that you would let her do that? That's all I care about right now is my job.
No, what you need to say is, I can't control her. That's what you say. That's what they all say. No, but look.
Okay,
so,
all right. You're getting somewhere.
I wanted to start. Okay, so
it's
here's
a long way to get.
No,
here.
Well, we didn't make it. You didn't make it. You failed.
I'll take it.
I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. But I was trying in a very roundabout way to talk to you about setting goals, right? So let's say presumably we want to get more comfortable,
right,
with being uncomfortable. So we would practice it with this little goal of sitting in this 20-second space of silence, which you failed miserably.
Because I was purely thinking selfishly about myself and my life.
Has been your downfall before, you narcissist. But what I'm trying to teach you, the New Year's coming, and we all have things that we want to pursue, right? Things we want to change. And we say this all the time. It's almost getting redundant on the show. Change is scary. Change is a scary thing, that unknown space. So instead of looking at this goal that you have for yourself or this dream that you have for yourself as this giant, insurmountable task at hand of I have 50 pounds to lose or I have 100 pounds to lose or I'm in bankruptcy. How am I clawing my way out of this? Or I just got a divorce. I'll never find love again. You know, no matter how far behind the eight ball you are on something, there's a way to go about pursuing it so that it is manageable and you can be successful. There are strategies and skill sets that you can employ. So the first thing about goals, number one, make sure that you have a really clear vision of what it is. So you don't want to just say, okay, the New Year's coming and I'm getting healthy. What does that even mean? It's not definable. Who knows what that means? Does it mean that you are a certain weight? Does it mean that you have reversed your type 2 diabetes? Does it mean that you can run a half marathon? What does it mean? So with any goal, I want you to start out and make a little pyramid. I've written about this in a book or two here and there. I want you to start out with a little goal pyramid. And at the top of this pyramid, I want you to write out what it is that you want, and I want it to be detailed. Got it, Jake? Whatever it is, if it's healthy, I want it to say, I want to wear a size 4 jeans. I want my cholesterol numbers to be, you know, below 200. I want to run my first 5K. I want to whatever, define it. Even if it comes to love, if you say, well, I want to be in love. Really? What do you want that relationship to look like? Who's the person that you want in your life? Are they funny? Are they smart? What do they do? How do they treat you? Define that. If it's, you know, my little sister wanted to go to Yale, but it was like, well, I know that I want to go to a good school. And I said, Lauren, what school do you want to go to? What do you want that school to provide you? What opportunities do you want to exist there? What kind of programs do you want? What do you want the co-eds to be like? And she, guess what? She didn't end up going to Yale. She ended up going to Sarah Lawrence because it best fitted her goals and her agenda and her vision. So number one, define the goal. Number two, achieving something is not easy. It isn't. And we can lose motivation along the way because often the behaviors and the necessary actions associated with achieving that goal are unpleasant. Again, let's take weight loss. I hate broccoli. It sucks. By the way, I also don't love working out. I've said this a million times before. I'm the girl that watches the clock every single second of the workout, waiting for it to be over. No matter what class I'm taking, no matter what new music I'm listening to, I cannot wait for it to end. But I formed an emotional connection to my goal, to my agenda. So for me, I have an emotional connection to feeling good, looking good, being confident, feeling strong, healthy, energized. That means something to me because I defined my goal and I formed an emotional connection to it. So I'm willing to put in the work and do things that are less than pleasant because I associate it not with that moment of discomfort, but with the ultimate goal of feeling happy, feeling rewarded, feeling successful, feeling accomplished, feeling loved, feeling confident, whatever it might be. So define the goal, form an emotional attachment to the goal. And we always say, you have to figure out what your why is. People will accomplish anything if they feel that it's worth it and they feel that they're capable. So write down all the reasons that this goal's worth it right next to that clear vision at the top of your vision pyramid, so to speak, your little goal pyramid. Now, the next thing is creating a roadmap to achieving this goal. And that means I want you to start out with immediate goals, right? Things we can do today. So now we're going to go to the bottom, the very bottom of our goal pyramid, and we're going to write down exactly what we can do in this moment to make our life better. And then from there, what do we want to achieve in a week? What do we want to achieve in a month? What do we want to achieve? And I would say give yourself 3 months to achieve this goal. But if it's something bigger than that, if it's your own business, okay, you can make it a year ahead of time. But then you break it down into corresponding smaller goals. So again, if we took weight loss, for example, and we threw it up at the top of that pyramid, and we defined all the things that we wanted, and we attached to all the emotional benefits of being fit and healthy, then we said, okay, I want to lose 100 pounds. Okay, I want to lose 10 pounds a month. Okay, from there, that's my monthly goal. Well, now my weekly goal is to lose 2 pounds a week. How do I do that? okay, well, now we're getting into immediate goals. I need to learn how to cook. I need to make time to go to the gym. I need to make time make time to cook and go to the gym. Those are pretty much the things you need to do. But then you start looking at what you need to do so that you can get to the gym, whether it's rearranging your carpool schedule or reprioritizing your business meetings or clearing out your Sunday so that you can make healthy food and have it ready to grab and go during the week. And you break these things down so that you can see, all right, to achieve X, I need to do Y. To achieve this, I need to do that. And your focus becomes immediate. Right in the moment, what do you need to do? Well, now I need to call the other moms, move my carpool schedule so I have time to go to the gym. Or maybe it's I need to create a babysitting group with the other moms so that I can find time to go to the gym. Or I need to change my meeting tomorrow so I can get to the supermarket to get healthy foods. When you break it down into these smaller goals and you digest this, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? Come on, you've heard this one. Come on, Janice.
No, I've never heard how to eat an elephant. I know I've heard of there's an elephant in the room.
No, Janice. How do you eat an elephant?
Well, I guess I'd just poke him in the leg and get him down first.
Okay, well, that's not the answer, but okay. And right. Then what?
And then I wouldn't want to eat it. That's such a bizarre question to me.
My gosh, you're just not playing ball today.
Okay, I would poke him in the leg. And then maybe they'd go down on the knee, and then I would probably start on the ear.
One bite at a time.
Oh.
God. You're visualizing like abusing this poor animal.
Well, that's
not literal.
I was so shocked.
What kind of person are you?
I was shocked.
You're a horrible person.
I was shocked.
Now poke him in the leg.
Well, you can't. I was shocked that you were asking me this question.
And one bite at a time.
Well, I thought you meant how would I really.
And I'm trying, Janice, they're cliches. Every journey begins with
a little step.
Yes. Aha.
Well, I've never heard this elephant thing. All I know is that sometimes there's an elephant in the room.
That has nothing to do. You're way off base here. No, you're not focused. No,
I would
no.
still just nibble on the ear for a little while and then decide if I wanted to eat the rest of them. And I wouldn't. Just a terrible thought.
But
I would.
You would start one bite at a time.
Just a little nibble
exactly.
on the ear.
And that's the philosophy that I want you guys to employ. One bite at a time.
One
step at a time. And at the same time, remember that motivation. Remember to always go back to your reasons. But one thing that you can do to really be helpful is reward yourself. So for every goal, create a corresponding reward, but make sure that it's affirming and not destructive. So, of course, if you're dieting, we don't want to make your reward pizza and ice cream. But if you lose 2 pounds that week, make it, okay, I'm going to get a manicure pedicure. I'm going to treat myself if I get the 2 pounds lost. And at the end of the month, if I lose 10 pounds, I'm going to give myself $25 to buy new workout music on iTunes. And, but not our podcast. Our podcast is free.
Okay. And award-winning.
Uh-huh. So keep yourself incentivized. Constantly reward yourself and your achievements so that you are motivated and you have something to look forward to and something that's positive. Because truthfully, goals, we should always have goals. We should always be striving to better ourselves. To deepen the meaning in our life, to become wiser and smarter and stronger. Oh, quite honestly, what's the point? There's a reflective.
No, I've been thinking about this segment. What attracted me, what caught my ear the most was having the emotional attachment to the goal. I've never thought of it that way, having an emotional connection to it.
You have to. Well, you have to have an emotional connection. You have to have your reasons why, because that's your motivation.
Right. Because it's not, because oftentimes we think it's the reason why we think somebody else would want us to have that goal.
We always go to the outside.
Yeah.
Always. And people will say to me, how do I get motivated, Jill? I don't know. How do you? You have to look inside. Now, you might go to external sources like your favorite celebrity or music that you like or somebody who's inspired you. And that's great. That can help you kind of catalyze your change. But unless you look inside and define your reasons and the ways that your life is going to be better, that's not going to last. True inspiration has to come from within. So take some time, smell the roses, marinate on these things, let your feelings really resonate, be detailed, and then break it down into a little goal roadmap with corresponding rewards so you have something to look forward to along the way. Mm. You want to try that 20 seconds of silence again?
No, I do. I do not. I'm still between the silence and showing on an elephant. I'm so confused. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad we have a guest today.
Jake.
I'm glad we have a guest.
She's just not as strong as us. Oh.
Who starts on the ear of the elephant anyways?
Oh, that's just stupid.
The ear.
You clearly start on the trunk.
On the trunk.
Yeah. Well, Jake and I are going to take 20 seconds of silence. You go ahead and make some noise in your corner until we come back.
We'll be back with Dr. V. Dr. V is going to be on to give us some great holiday advice. All right, we are back, and as promised, I'm very excited to have her back. Dr. V is waiting for you.
Hey, Dr. Van Hurley, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I have to tell you that people love your top seven. It's like the number one request, more Dr. Van Hurley, more Dr. Van Hurley. So,
well, Jillian, that's because you and I have this idea, and I don't know where we got it, right? That hopefully just with common sense and some good science and good nutrition and exercise tips, we can really change people's lives. So this is really all that you do.
Oh, what I do. Well, thank you. And all that you do. So I'm really excited. Janice tells me today we're talking about staying on track for the holidays.
Yeah. So this is the tough one. And there's so many things that we all know. It's common sense. So what I wanted to do when I go through the top seven, and you know that they're in no special order,
right,
is really talk about, okay, so how do you stay on track, especially with weight and exercise? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff, emotional stuff that goes on. But we're going to focus on sort of weight, exercise, and your diet. And I don't like that word. I don't think you like that word. We talk about nutrition and overall health.
Right.
Okay, so number one, stop the extra toppings, sauces, gravy, butter, nuts, whipped cream. I mean, think about what happens at the holidays and why it's so yummy and delicious and all the good smells.
Janice and I are both like this. We're both like, uh-oh, Jake brought us in brownies for Christmas and they're covered in candy canes. We're both just looking at them like this, uh-oh.
That's right. So here's the thing. So how do you do that? Because all these things go to our olfactory senses. We smell more. It's like wonderful and delicious. But the food contents, unfortunately, lose so much benefits when you put all that stuff on top.
Yeah.
And it's that stuff, as you know, right? That's where you get the bad fats. That's where you get the extra calories. And it really doesn't help. The thing about it that we know is if you can put out nice scented candles, if you can actually put, you know, even on your stove, they have these little kits for cloves and mulled wine kits where you actually just put it on the stove with a low simmer, and what it does is it fills your house with all these wonderful aromas, and it actually, you get this feeling of holidays, and you don't need to put that feeling of holidays in your stomach and then on your hips.
That's really clever. That's really, I love that.
Use your senses. Use your senses and stop the toppings. Again, all the side stuff. The other thing that we don't think of as an additive or a topping per se, maybe you and I do, Jill, is salt. Salt is a big offender in all these kinds of foods. It helps make all the good holiday foods even taste better. And so if you stop the salt, guess what? You're not going to gain that extra 3 to 5 pounds of water, because a lot of what people gain over the holidays is water weight.
Is that so?
Uh-huh. And it's because we forget that all those wonderful cured hams and all those delicious foods, everything you put in there, salt makes it better. And so the cookies and all the sweets, it's sugar. But for all the great, delicious meals, it's really salt. So hold it away, and the water will stay away.
Dr. V, I have a question for you. I actually hate salt. And I wonder, can you train your palate to become more salt sensitive? Because when something's super salty, it's just, ugh, I can't. I can't stand it.
Yeah, and you know why you can't stand it? Because you answered your own question. Your palate is already trained to hate the salt.
Really? That is true.
You've minimized so much, probably no salt maybe, or a low.
Yeah, very low. Low sodium everything. I can't stand it.
So your salt barometer in your tongue and your taste buds is so high that even a little smidgen more, and again, in all these foods, there's loads more, even that little bit you can taste. So the good news is if you reverse it, meaning slowly wean yourself honestly, if you literally week by week start using less and less in your cooking to the point that you actually stop adding it to other foods that you're cooking, and just because you know it's going to be in some of the breads, it's going to be in some of the canned soups for sure, all canned foods, unless you get salt-free. So you can train your palate.
That's good to know. Okay, because I wasn't sure if I was just fortunate or just, you know, because I take it out of the recipes. I always get low-sodium versions, and I don't miss it. But that's obviously why. Okay, thank you.
You can train your palate. There's some people with very fancy endocrine diseases that need salt, but that's not what we're talking about for 99% of us.
Right, okay.
So number two, watch the drinks. Now, when I say watch the drinks, I mean all the drinks. We all know that if you look at a glass of wine, a beer, a champagne glass, all these fun things, have them in sips. Sometimes even people will split them with water. They'll drink one, let's say, alcoholic drink, one water drink. They'll alternate. It's not just because alcohol isn't great for the liver and obviously everything else it can do that probably makes people feel good to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But there are so many empty calories. And the other drinks are all the lovely eggnogs, punches. There's all these delicious things that are put out there that if you look at the calorie content, honestly, you have almost a whole meal. You could have a fast food burger or a cup of eggnog.
Right. I mean, oh, my gosh. That's insane when you put that in perspective. Wow.
And guess what? Is anyone full after a drink? Not really. In fact, in the long run, all those high sugars, whether it's from fermented wines, again, fermented hops and beers, whether it's from eggnog, which has sugar and eggs, you're hungry an hour later because it's a quick carbohydrate fix, and you really don't get any of the nutritional value. So watch the drinks, and I'm talking about flavored drinks, eggnogs, and alcohol, all that kind of stuff.
Got it. Excellent. Okay.
Now, number three is kind of a funny one, and it's a weird one, but I've actually heard this from several of my patients, and I started scratching my head about it, thinking, does it work? And I have to say, this is one that I tried myself, and I think it does work. Here it goes. Wear tighter clothes. Now, that's a really odd one because you'd think, well, why would you get into anything tighter than you need to do? Be comfortable. And it doesn't have to necessarily be tighter clothes, but it can be that you have, let's say, a lot of these pantyhose that people wear with cocktail dresses.
Spanx.
They have that support, that tummy support and all that. What we've seen, and again, I've heard it in my clinic and tried it myself.
Really? You've heard it in your clinic? I mean, I love it because I get it behaviorally, but...
They're saying if you feel a little bit strapped in, I mean, you don't need to go get a girdle, and for goodness sake, don't harm yourself. But if you wear tighter clothes and you have that little skinnier skirt on or dress on, people tend to pull in their rectus muscles. They actually feel full sooner, and they eat less. And this has been shown, and it does work.
Sometimes those simple little behavioral changes really help us to manage scenarios like that where, you know, you don't want your belly hanging out. You don't want to be uncomfortable. And I mean, I've tried that with jeans where I thought, okay, I'm not going to undo the top button. I'm going to make myself get through this holiday meal with my pants buttoned the entire time.
There you go.
And it's uncomfortable if you eat too much.
It is. And you start feeling your belly bloating. And
yeah, you do.
It's a reminder. It's like your little red alarm button. So the idea is don't wear the caftan to go dress to go to the Christmas party.
You heard her, Janice. Put the caftan away.
Put the caftan away because, you know, you'll eat heart's discontent.
Got it. No caftan. Number four. Janice is devastated right now.
No, I just think
no caftan.
A great quote at your doctor's office.
Dr. V says.
Dr. V says.
Put that caftan away.
So number four, okay, food prep. We all know that the food prep is part of the fun. That's what we talked about for number one, all the olfactory senses and everything. And, you know, guess what happens in food prep? The tasting, the little nibbles, the this, the that.
So true.
Jillian, you know this better than anyone. With all your patients, your clients you go through, you see the nibbling and the effect of all the calories that accumulate. And guess what? Then you still sit down to that meal.
Right, exactly.
You've had two meals already. So the really important thing is while you're doing food prep, and even if you just go to someone else's house for a party and you're kind of waiting for the food, a really good trick, and it's not always great for people that have like a TMJ or a joint disease that hurts, is chewing gum. Sounds really crazy. There's a lot of funny and yummy tasting gums out there that are sugar free. I don't really recommend gum chewing in general, but during the holiday period, this is one of those little tricks. Put in a stick of gum.
Yeah.
And if you chew the gum, something's in your mouth. But there's a couple other things you can do naturally. One is sunflower seeds that are still in their shell. Mm. You can get the salt-free ones, by the way. And what happens with those is you've got the little seed, you got to work at it. So you know how we all put those in our mouth and you kind of chew around it and a little bit? Okay, so you get a little seed. You got a calorie.
Right, and you're meeting that oral fixation.
There you go. And the third one that's really important, again, in food prep, before you prep for food or right before you go to your Christmas or Hanukkah party or anywhere, have an apple, have a pear, have a whole piece of fresh fruit. It's a really interesting phenomenon. But an apple a day, yeah, it does probably keep the doctor away, especially the diabetes doctor away in this realm. It gives you immediate satiety. And because there's a lot of fiber in there, and yes, there's sugar. You know, apple has sugar, but it's a natural sugar.
Right.
Again, pick a fruit of choice. Have it in a good quantity. Again, you can peel an orange. Have one of those. Put something in there that has satiety because it'll give you that little bit of ramp up with fiber. And that's why I prefer the apples and pears because of all the fiber, a little bit more than oranges and tangerines and tangelos.
Right.
But have that first because before you start cooking, you'll be less inclined to pick. And it really does make a difference. It gives people the fullness feeling.
So true. Whenever I hit a party and I haven't eaten all day and you're like racing and you get there, not only are you locked into the food that's there, you're too hungry to wait, but at the same time, you overeat constantly. It's like you never hit a party hungry. You should always do exactly what Dr. V is saying so you can control your...
My family laughs. I have what they call the goat crackers. You know, these are like, you know, all different brands of basically non-fat, healthy, multigrain, you know, crackers with flaxseed. And, you know, I'll have a couple goat crackers, and I have apples, which, by the way, I once found a couple months later in the bottom of one of my bags, so that's not the way to do it. I load up my car with what I call the goat crackers and apples because you got to run in somewhere.
Got to be prepared. Goat crackers.
So have your little bag of tricks there.
Right.
Number five, don't fast all day before the meal or the party. It's a critical piece. We forget that. We think, like, especially in Thanksgiving, and now we've got the other holidays all coming up, people think that they are able to eat more, right?
Yeah.
If they only have that one meal.
It's so true. They don't eat all day, and then they gorge themselves.
Right. And so what's the big myth? What happens the first thing that you don't have breakfast? Your metabolism, right then and there, is saying, oh, no calories. Okay, I'm going to slow down. So instantly, your little furnace and everything going on inside the burners and generators of the body go quiet because they want those calories. They're used to having those morning calories,
right.
And now they're gone. So they're going to slow metabolism. Now you're going to get starving. And just to your point, Jillian, you gorge. You take this huge amount of calories in. And people, honestly, if they were usually eating, let's say they're eating an 800 or 1,000-calorie meal, they will eat 5,000 calories in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah, because what happens is you are trying to fill and fill because your brain and your stomach haven't communicated well, and your metabolism is slow, so all those calories you take in, guess where they go?
Yep.
Can't get rid of them unless you're going to run a marathon like the next week. Forget it and train for it. It's not going to work. So don't fast. I mean, don't try and trick your metabolism. You really can't trick Mother Nature.
Right. I tell people that all the time. There's such a huge misconception about fasting. For some reason, people think, oh, I'm cleansing my body. But you're not. You're starving your body, right, Dr. V?
You're starving your body.
Right.
You're starving it. And you're going to starve it to a point that it's going to slow its metabolism, make you so hungry that then, yes, you'll have
overeat.
A rebound.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number six. Hydration. Now, we talk about hydration in a lot of the top sevens because it really is one of the lifelong, most important things you can do. What we forget is in the wintertime, with the big holidays, we need sometimes more fluid intake. And I'm talking about water, coconut water, really healthy, you know, fluid intake. You need more sometimes than in, you know, the dead of summer where it's hot, hot, hot. Your body in dry and coldness is still trying to acclimate. You still have those insensible losses we talk about. So people think, oh, if it's hot, I've got to cool down with the water. But you know what? When it's cold, your body is still trying to temperature regulate. You still lose a lot of vapor and moisture through your lungs because it's exchanging now with colder air. Why is this so important in your diet and keeping on track? Because when you're dehydrated, your brain, again, is going to go for food stuffs and food sources. You'll be more inclined to go for the ice cream. You'll want the whipped cream on top. What your brain is trying to look for is fluids. You're dehydrated. You feel lousy.
Right.
You're going to want the quick sugar fix. Stay hydrated. It fills your stomach. It hydrates your body. And it tells your brain, hey, liquid is okay. I don't have to grab every single, you know, thing out there that has cheese on it or liquid in it or any of those creams. You don't need it. Stay hydrated.
Got it.
The last one, which really is, I think, the most important one, and it's the hardest one to change, has to do with that whole stress.
Ugh.
So,
it is definitely the hardest one to change. You're right about that.
It's the hardest one. Everyone's got their list. Everyone's got to get the cooking done. I've done no shopping. I've got to get myself together. I mean, I'm stressed. Guess what happens with stress? We all know this, right, Jillian? You and I went through it. We've even written about it. Cortisol levels go through the roof.
Yep.
That means fat around the abdomen sticks. It means blood sugars go up. It means you're going to be more hungry. And at the end of the day, you're going to feel burnt out and more tired. So how do you reduce your stress? Well, there's all kinds of ways to do it. But here's where people have to remember to do the exercise. Good sleep patterns critical. But exercise is really such a great way to build endorphins in the brain and stop all that stress.
So true.
Even in the, you know, here, it's winter, so most of us are going to be wearing long pants and things to run around and do our errands. Get those 2-pound ankle weights. Get 5-pound ankle weights, depending on your size. You know, talk to your doctor, talk to your trainer, talk to Jillian. Get those little ankle weights. No one will ever see them under your winter clothes. Run around and do your shopping with your ankle weights. You're getting exercise then. Because believe me, carrying all those heavy bags and lugging back and forth groceries, if you got an extra couple of weights on there, by the time you take them off at night, you're going to see how easily you walk. Because that extra weight builds bone density, keeps you active, makes you have to make endorphins, and you feel better and you sleep better. Add everything else in that you can that makes you feel good, the meditation. I mean, honestly, have more sex. Try and do whatever you can do if you've got downtime.
Janice blushed. Well, it's your favorite thing, Janice.
I'm telling you.
It's so good for you, isn't it, Dr. V?
It's so good.
Why is that? Is it just because of your biochemistry, the chemicals it releases? What is it about sex that's so good for you?
That's right. So it really has to do with it is in a massive stress reducer, and it is because of not only endorphins, but that sexual response, and we can do a top 7 on some of these things.
Oh, Janice is so excited. Her face, she's writing it down.
I think we need it because we make hormones, and we have a response that is so physiologically healthy. It's healthy in every way, to our heart, our brain, our kidneys, to our gonads, so that's testicles for men, to ovaries for women. There's a really amazing response that happens. And it's, you could say, well, how do you engage in intercourse or relationships or intimacy, right? During stress times. Well, you know what? Try and try it. I think people may be surprised if they can just do those first few steps. What a great
I'm like this. Listen, I am stressed. Get over here. Do your job. Well, that's gonna look at Janice's face.
Goodness. Well, I was just thinking you should take the ankle weights off first though, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Dr. V.
Janice, I'm going to leave that to our listeners and everyone will make their own decisions. But yes, I think for safety-wise, as a physician, I'd probably recommend that.
Okay, well, fine. There's a caveat for you.
There's a caveat.
The disclaimer is to take off your ankle weights. Dr. V, thank you so much. How can people reach you?
Oh, Dr. Van Herley, my name, DrVanHerley.com.
You're the best. You are awesome. We are eternally grateful. Janice is going to go and burn her caftan and bust out her ankle weights and get busy, aren't you, Janice?
That's exactly.
Trolling for guys at the bar.
That's exactly
right.
Yes. That would be me.
Be well and happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you,
and
Dr.
You too,
V.
Dr. V.
Thank you.
I'm still alive, but I'm barely breathing. Just pray to a God that I don't believe in. 'Cause I got time while she got freedom. 'Cause when a heart breaks, no, it don't break even.
Okay, we are back, and Mariette is waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Mariette, what's going on?
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm trying not to cry. My family's like, don't cry. I'm like, I won't.
Oh, go ahead and cry. What's the matter?
I love you so. You have no idea, like, how much I love you. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, honey. Don't be silly. What's going on?
Well, basically, I used to weigh 220 pounds. I lost it. I went down to 138, so I lost 80 pounds, like, in 8 months.
Wow.
Just diet and exercise.
Excellent.
And basically, someone helped me do it, so I wanted to play forward, and I got in the fitness industry, and I'm a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I work so many hours, and I tend to overeat because I'm so overwhelmed that I'm gaining weight back, and I feel like I'm fake when I'm at the gym. Like, I feel like people are watching me, like, why is she a trainer? And I just don't know where to, like, find the medium, like, the balance between helping others but also helping myself at the same time.
Okay, so you're feeling overwhelmed.
Very, yes.
By your clients?
Not clients, like the other trainers at the gym, different clients at the gym itself.
And how are they overwhelming you?
I just like, oh, why aren't your numbers high enough? And I always think it's because I'm getting overweight and people don't want to train with me.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Hold on. Why aren't you generating enough money?
Generating enough clientele.
Ah, that's where the pressure's coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, so you work for a gym and they're wondering why you're not drumming up enough business. And you think that secretly it's because you...
I feel it's because I'm gaining weight and people don't want to train with someone. They look at them like, oh, I want to look like that. And
okay.
I'm not the person, you know?
Okay. Okay. All right, let's address this in a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweetie, I'm going to be honest with you. Telling the truth is never easy. And no one ever wants to hear it, but people are limited sometimes, honey. And it is possible that there are people out there who might think, well, her body's not perfect. How do I know she knows what she's doing?
Exactly.
I'm not going to negate that that's a possibility. It could be a possibility. That's possible. Mm-hmm. But conversely, there are a lot of people that will learn your story and learn that you lost 80 friggin' pounds in, I think you said 8 months or something like that,
mm-hmm.
with just diet and exercise. And all those people who have depth and bother to get informed are going to kill for a trainer like you because they're going to want to know what you did. So you got to know that there are going to be people in the world that don't really look beyond the surface and people that do. And the ones that do are the ones that you're going to want to work with. Now, my guess is that that probably isn't what's going on with you.
I'm so overwhelmed that I'm not putting my best person forward, I guess.
Well, I think part of it is
questioning myself.
Right. I was just going to tell you that I think that there's some insecurity there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're...
Yeah. And then I come home and then I binge. Cause
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, all right. So talk to me about... Because what my guess is that deep feeling of inadequacy is probably not coming from clients at the gym and probably not coming from trainers at the gym, but probably coming from within you, and you're projecting it outward. So your perception is that everyone's seeing you this way when the truth of the matter is that you're the one that is seeing you this way. So why don't you start by telling me where this feeling of inadequacy, what is the origin of that feeling, honey? It doesn't start here. It hasn't started at the gym. It's something that's been with you a long time.
Well, I have PCOS like you do.
Okay.
So that's a struggle for me, and that was enough.
But you can manage that.
I know.
So,
I try, but the thing is I'm also a vegetarian, so I don't eat enough protein, I guess.
No, I'm not going to. This is not the direction I want to go in. No, I'm not. That's a different call. I want to know where the pervasive feeling of inadequacy is coming from, and it's not being a vegetarian and PCOS. Not right now. I have a feeling that you felt this way for a long time. True or false?
True.
Okay. When's the first time you remember feeling this way?
I can't go that far. It's been a while. I'm always questioning it.
Get, I was you, younger,
like, you. I was always overweight.
Okay.
So I was never, like, I never, like, I always wanted to be that girl running down the street, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like I'm, I qualified for a marathon, but yet still not good enough.
No, stop it. Mm-hmm. You're getting derailed. Go back. Mm-hmm. Tell me again. When do you remember this feeling beginning? You were an overweight kid, so you had it as a kid, yes?
Yes.
And you've carried it into your adulthood.
Yes, and then I was in an abusive relationship, so that didn't help matters.
Right, but what that does is it allows you to replay that pattern of not being good enough, and then you just get a little bit of validation, like, I knew it. I wasn't enough. I wasn't good enough for him. Blah, 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 blah. All you're doing is you're attracting somebody who's going to help you relive the same feeling of being inadequate. So now you're in a gym, mm-hmm, surrounded by people and scenarios and things that make you feel inadequate. Then you attracted a man who is going to make you feel inadequate. It's called a repetition compulsion. And you're trying to resolve it externally in other people. But the only way to really resolve or solve a repetition compulsion is by healing yourself. And one of the best ways to go back and do that is by looking at where it began. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're now an overweight kid. Who made you feel inadequate?
I couldn't even answer that.
No, that's a defense mechanism. I need you to dig deeper. Who made you feel inadequate?
When I was younger, I was overly developed. So I was always getting picked on for that.
Okay.
So it's just little things. Like, it just builds up after a while.
Okay, so you were picked on in school?
Yes.
All right. That doesn't help?
No, it doesn't.
Right. Okay. Anywhere else?
Not really. Like, my I have a great family and support system. Like, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my... It's just...
Do you compare yourself to your siblings?
No. Okay. I always compare myself to others, though. That's my thing. Like, oh, why can't I be like that? Why don't I have that?
Okay. Did your parents ever say, why can't you be like that? Why don't you have that?
No, not at all.
Your parents always tell you were beautiful and smart and
my
all this thing?
Yes, they're amazing.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me how did you become an overweight kid?
It happened towards, like, the high school, college years. I just stopped caring. I was just eating all the time.
Stop caring, honey?
I don't.
You, no. Why did you stop? No. Why did you stop caring?
I just never felt comfortable in my own skin.
There's a reason, sweetie.
There's so much.
There's a reason. So something in your life has created a dynamic where you don't feel deserving. You stopped caring about yourself. You felt less than. And now you're playing this pattern out. You're bullied in school. You're in an abusive relationship. Now you feel inadequate at your job. And I got to tell you that this is not going to stop until you stop it within yourself. And one of the best ways I know how to help people do that, other than the obvious of, you know, having these accomplishments, taking in these accomplishments, letting them redefine your self-image, forcing yourself into getting out of that comfort zone and getting the job at the gym and all of that. That helps. It definitely helps. But I found that the best way to get to the bottom of these pervasive self-worth issues is to understand where they come from. Because usually somebody had the same issues that you do right now. And they projected them onto you at a young age, and you took them on. You took them on, and you internalized them, even though it wasn't about you. So you need to really think about when this started and where it came from and what areas of your life you felt inadequate, not good enough, insecure, worthless, not worth caring about. That's what I need you to focus on. Really stop and think about it. Journal, write it down, do some deep thinking. And then often you'll find, no matter who or what the situation, it wasn't about you. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do. Like, for example, if it was kids in school, well, they're bullying you because they feel insecure and they feel powerless. That's why kids bully, because they want to belong, because they feel powerless at home. And because they feel like if they bully you, they'll have power over somebody. But they're doing it because they feel insecure, not because you're not good enough. But along the way, you take that in. And I guarantee you this will not get better. It's not about the people at the gym anymore. It's not about the abusive guy that you attracted. It's about you. It's about you. And there's going to come a point where hopefully you'll get to the bottom of this, of where this comes from. If you don't, though, you're going to have to make that choice to stop doing this to yourself, to know that you are good enough. And the way you do that is by letting the accomplishments that you already have define you. 80 pounds, 8 months, that's who you are. Signed up for a half marathon, that's who you are. Not the fat kid in junior high. Mm-hmm. Not the kid that was bullied. You have to redefine yourself with these current accomplishments. Think about it, okay?
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, honey, it's my pleasure. But just please really think about what I said. Really go back and think about it.
I will, definitely.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Jillian.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
She's not there yet. I can't get her there on this call. It would take too long.
It's okay.
You know, it just, I want to, but she's too defended. Can you hear it? Yeah. I don't know. My family's amazing. She's not ready. Pushing harder than that would be bad right now.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
You can't make somebody see something until they're able to see it. You can open their eyes a little bit, you know, but they can't actually see it until they're ready to see it. And it's hard for people. That's why, when did you first feel this way? I don't know. Or they'll get manic, or they'll get scattered, or they'll start talking about being vegan and PCOS instead of going back and going, God, the first time I was made to feel like crap was, because that's painful.
And they've never been asked the question before.
Maybe, I know.
Maybe.
You know. Yeah, most likely. Still, there's something there. I think she'll think about it.
Oh, totally. Totally. You know what we have to think about?
Ending the show.
No, but also the fact that we screwed up royally.
We did?
Look under your paper. Look what you've got.
Oh, Jake got us brownies.
And what did we get Jake for the holiday season?
Nothing.
Nothing.
A big old box of nothing.
Look, here's a box, Jake. Oh, and it's filled with nothing.
Jake. It's because we don't really, you know... We're Jake's an afterthought. We're narcissists.
We're narcissists.
Actually, I am.
No, I feel terrible. Jake baked us these lovely brownies, and you and I.
Yeah, you know what they are? I don't know what's in there. It's like candy cane, dark chocolate. I know Janice and I came in, and Jake had gotten us a little holiday brownie. You know what we're going to need to do is like buy him a Ferrari to make up for this. After. I'm going to be like this.
That might be okay.
I'm going to be like, oh, thanks for your brownies.
No, but we both looked at each other and we went, we are horrible people.
Oh, yeah, no, we are selfish, self-absorbed.
Sure. Yep.
But let me tell you, I'm going to enjoy those brownies.
Oh, are you kidding? Let's end the show, ixnay to the brownies.
Okay.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.